Jamie Metzl's Hacking Darwin has been called required reading for anyone who wants to understand the future of humanity by Brian Johnson, founder of Kernel and OS Fund. This groundbreaking exploration of genetic engineering's impact on human evolution has captivated readers from Silicon Valley to academia, appearing on Bill Gates' recommended reading list and sparking intense debate in scientific circles. Beyond its scientific impact, the book has become a cultural touchstone in discussions about humanity's future, with tech luminaries like Ray Kurzweil praising its balanced approach to both the promises and perils of genetic technologies. For 3.8 billion years, life on Earth has followed Darwin's rules, random mutation and natural selection. Sexual reproduction supercharged this process 540 million years ago, combining genetic material from two parents to create unprecedented diversity. This evolutionary system produced everything from dinosaurs to humans through countless genetic experiments, with each generation slightly different from the last. But now, we stand at a revolutionary turning point. Our species is about to begin evolving by an entirely different set of rules. From this moment forward, our mutations will no longer be random, but self-designed. Our selection will no longer be natural, but self-directed. We are beginning to hack Darwin. This transformation isn't science fiction. Unlike Jules Verne's moon landing fantasy of 1865, we're at the equivalent of 1962 when Kennedy announced the Apollo mission. The foundational technology already exists. The genetic revolution isn't speculative. It's the logical extension of tools we're already using. The only variables are timing and what values will guide us. As we increasingly understand our biology as information technology, code that can be read, written, and hacked, we'll have the same expectations for ourselves as for our devices. Using IVF and embryo selection, we'll soon routinely screen out genetic diseases and select broader traits. Eventually, technologies like CRISPR will allow precise genetic alterations, potentially introducing DNA from other humans, animals, or synthetic sources. Over time, conception through sex may be seen as unnecessarily risky. Governments and insurance companies will encourage IVF to avoid expensive genetic diseases. Despite the jarring nature of this transformation, our species will inevitably pursue technologies that eradicate diseases and extend lifespans. The fundamental questions we face are profound. Will we use these technologies to expand or limit humanity? Will benefits go only to the privileged few? Who has the right to make decisions affecting the human gene pool? Every human needs to participate in answering these questions, educating ourselves on the issues at stake. Our DNA is made up of four nucleotides, G, A, T, C, arranged in specific sequences that form genes, which provide instructions for making proteins. These genes are packaged into 23 pairs of chromosomes, with humans having about 21,000 genes and 3.2 billion base pairs. While protein-coding genes are crucial, nearly 99% of DNA is non-coding, regulating how genes are expressed rather than being junk as once thought. The Human Genome Project, completed in 2003 after 13 years and $2.7 billion, marked a breakthrough in reading our genetic code. Since then, sequencing technology has advanced dramatically, with costs plummeting from billions to hundreds of dollars. Today, a full genome sequence takes about a day and costs around $700, with $100 genomes on the horizon. Scientists have made tremendous progress understanding genetic diseases, particularly those caused by single-gene mutations, like Tay-Sachs, cystic fibrosis, and Huntington's. While these diseases are individually rare, genetic screening has proven effective in prevention, as demonstrated by the Jewish community's successful campaign against Tay-Sachs. The revolution in genetic analysis, paired with in vitro fertilization, has transformed human reproduction. Starting with Samuel Schenck's 1878 discovery of egg fertilization in glass dishes and culminating in the birth of Louise Brown, the first test tube baby, in 1978, IVF opened new possibilities for applying genetic knowledge to human reproduction. Despite initial controversy, with Catholic theologians calling it unnatural and a moral abomination, medical associations opposing it as too aggressive, and the Browns receiving hate mail with plastic fetuses, IVF gradually became normalized. Scientists soon developed pre-implantation genetic testing, PGT, which screens embryos before implantation for chromosomal abnormalities and genetic diseases. Initially used to prevent miscarriages and test for a small number of single-gene disorders, PGT now screens for thousands of genetic conditions. As screening technology improves and costs decrease, parents will increasingly weigh conception through sex against IVF with genetic screening. Just as parents take precautions like vaccination to protect their children, genetic screening may become viewed as responsible parenting. The growing acceptance of IVF and pre-implantation genetic testing is gradually shifting how we view human reproduction. As the cost of treating genetic diseases, $600,000 lifetime for cystic fibrosis, is weighed against prevention through embryo screening, economic incentives are aligning with health outcomes. By 2035, parents using IVF and pre-implantation embryo selection will face difficult choices. The doctor might explain how genetic screening capabilities have expanded beyond single-gene disorders to complex polygenic traits. While still probabilistic rather than deterministic, these screenings can predict likelihood of diseases like Alzheimer's, heart conditions, and cancers. The most uncomfortable revelation might come with IQ and personality trait screening. Despite hesitation about reducing human identity to genetic probabilities, parents could be confronted with compelling statistics about correlations between IQ and life outcomes. The doctor might carefully present these options without judgment, leaving parents torn between embracing genetic optimization and preserving life's mysteries. By 2045, reproduction could be radically transformed. Instead of invasive egg retrieval, a simple blood draw might collect the necessary biological material. This advancement, based on stem cell technology, would allow busy professionals to integrate genetic selection and reproduction into their everyday lives without disruption, beginning a new era where traditional conception methods become increasingly optional rather than necessary. The process would convert blood cells into induced pluripotent stem cells, iPSCs, which could then be transformed into hundreds or thousands of eggs, offering vastly more genetic options than traditional IVF's limited egg retrieval. This revolutionary potential of stem cells began unfolding in 1981, when British researchers first extracted stem cells from mouse embryos, with human embryonic stem cells following in 1998. The real breakthrough came when Shinya Yamanaka discovered that just 4 master genes could transform any adult cell back into a stem cell. This discovery, building on John Gurdon's earlier work showing cells could be developmentally reprogrammed, earned them the 2012 Nobel Prize. Yamanaka's induced pluripotent stem cells revolutionized biology by demonstrating that the biological clock could tick backward, allowing specialized cells to revert to their embryonic potential. By 2012, Japanese scientists had used Yamanaka factors to transform mouse skin cells into egg and sperm progenitor cells, which developed into functional eggs and sperm capable of producing healthy offspring. By 2014, scientists in England and Israel replicated this with human cells, and by 2018, researchers had induced egg precursor cells from human blood. The genetic revolution has provided us with unprecedented insights into human biology that our ancestors could never have imagined. Yet even our seemingly straightforward genetic diseases should inspire profound humility. While scientists have successfully linked single-gene mutations to specific conditions like cystic fibrosis or Huntington's disease, the reality proves far more intricate. Some individuals carry these supposedly deterministic mutations without developing symptoms, potentially protected by other genes or environmental factors that we're only beginning to understand. our genetics operate within a sophisticated orchestra of multiple interacting biological systems: the epigenome that regulates gene expression, the transcriptome that represents actively expressed genes, the proteome comprising all proteins, the metabolome tracking biochemical processes, the microbiome of symbiotic organisms, and the virome of viral inhabitants. These systems function within varied environmental contexts, creating layers of complexity that far exceed our initial expectations. Despite early euphoria following the Human Genome Project, scientists now recognize that merely collecting genetic data doesn't automatically translate to understanding its functional significance. To tackle this genetic complexity, researchers study simpler, faster-breeding model organisms that share our evolutionary heritage. Humans share approximately 60% of DNA with fruit flies, having diverged 700 million years ago, and 92% with mice, split 80 million years ago. These evolutionary relatives serve as crucial experimental subjects, from early radiation exposure studies to modern CRISPR gene editing, helping researchers understand fundamental biological systems and disease mechanisms. For instance, fruit flies have helped identify genes involved in circadian rhythms, while mice models have revolutionized cancer research. Genome-wide association studies, GWAS, have emerged as a powerful tool, analyzing hundreds of thousands or millions of genetic variations across diverse populations to identify patterns linked to specific traits or diseases. Rather than examining single mutations, this process digitally scans genomes for statistically significant variations across large groups, revealing complex genetic architectures underlying conditions like type 2 diabetes, schizophrenia, and height. Next-generation sequencing technologies examine either protein-coding genes, exome sequencing, or entire genomes, providing increasingly detailed information about genetic patterns and rare variants. As we transition from simple single-gene causality to complex genetic networks, artificial intelligence becomes essential for analysis. The ancient Chinese game Go perfectly demonstrates how AI revolutionizes complex pattern recognition. While IBM's Deep Blue defeated chess champion Garry Kasparov in 1996, Go's vastly greater complexity seemed beyond computational reach. Yet Google DeepMind's AlphaGo defeated world champions, and its successor AlphaGo Zero surpassed this achievement after just 3 days of self-play, demonstrating the power of machine learning in mastering complex patterns. This revolutionary pattern recognition capability is transforming genetic research and medicine. Companies like Deep Genomics are merging AI and genomics because biology is too complex for humans to understand without computational assistance. Major players including Google, WuXi NextCode, and Biogen are deploying sophisticated machine learning systems to analyze massive genetic data sets, identify disease patterns, and predict drug responses. These tools are beginning to unlock the complex relationships between genetic variations and human traits, promising more precise diagnostic tools and personalized treatment approaches. As we develop increasingly sophisticated genetic understanding, we confront fundamental questions about human identity. The age-old nature versus nurture debate now has unprecedented stakes as we gain power to select embryos based on genetic profiles. Our forebears have debated this for millennia, from Plato believing humans are born with innate knowledge to Aristotle arguing knowledge is acquired. Today, most agree the answer is both. Nature and nurture are dynamic systems continually interacting. This isn't just philosophical. If we're mostly nature, fixing problems requires genetic intervention. If mostly nurture, environmental changes would be more appropriate. Twin studies provide crucial insights. Identical twins separated at birth share remarkable similarities, from schizophrenia rates to personality traits and habits. Thomas Bouchard's multi-decade study found identical twins raised separately had about the same chance of sharing traits as those raised together. A massive 2015 meta-analysis of twin studies concluded humans are about half defined by genetics, with some traits being more heritable than others. Height exemplifies a predominantly genetic trait that can still be influenced by environment. North Koreans who grew up during the 1990s famine are up to 3 inches shorter than their South Korean counterparts, showing how malnutrition can override genetic potential. Experts estimate 60 to 80% of height differences between people are genetic. Stephen Hughes' groundbreaking research using 500,000 sequenced genomes from the UK Biobank demonstrated height can be predicted from genetics alone, achieving accuracy within about an inch. This opens doors to understanding, predicting, and potentially selecting for other complex traits in diseases once sufficient genomic data is available. Intelligence, among our most complex traits, presents even greater challenges. Despite controversy, twin studies consistently show intelligence is largely genetic and heritable. The Minnesota Twin Family Study found 70% of IQ was based on genetics, with only 30% from different life experiences. More recent reviews estimate IQ to be about 60% heritable, with genetic influence increasing as people age. Environmental factors still matter significantly. Eric Turkheimer found genetic predictors less accurate for children from disadvantaged families, suggesting negative environmental factors have greater relative impact in those situations. Revolutionary ideas and technologies advance together, from Mendel's P experiments to modern genetic engineering. This coevolution shifts our self-perception from divine creation to genetic code. Scientists have progressed from crude radiation-induced mutations to increasingly precise gene editing techniques. Gene editing evolved rapidly from zinc finger nucleases, ZFN, in 2009 to transcription activator-like effector nucleases, TALENs, in 2011. While ZFN could precisely cut DNA at specific locations, TALENs offered greater flexibility and versatility. Both technologies, however, would soon be overshadowed by an even more revolutionary tool. CRISPR originated from bacteria's billion-year battle with viruses. In 1987, Japanese researchers noticed repeating code clusters in bacterial DNA. Spanish researcher Francisco Mojica later recognized these clusters matched viral code sequences, suggesting they functioned as a bacterial immune system. Dutch researcher Ruud Janssen named these sequences clustered regularly interspaced short palindromic repeats, CRISPR. In 2010-2012, researchers including Sylvain Monod, Emmanuel Charpentier, Jennifer Doudna, and Martin Jeannick transformed CRISPR from a bacterial defense mechanism into a precise gene editing tool. They discovered how CRISPR-Cas9 could make predictable DNA breaks and be adapted to edit any genetic sequence. By 2013, Doudna, Charpentier, and Feng Zhang demonstrated CRISPR could target multiple locations in the human genome simultaneously. Unlike previous techniques requiring months of design, CRISPR systems could be deployed in days at minimal cost, using the same scissors bacteria use against viruses to snip and potentially insert genetic code at targeted locations. CRISPR applications have already reached consumers through products like non-browning Arctic apples, virus-resistant rainbow papayas, bruise-resistant innate potatoes, and Del Monte's lycopene-enhanced pink pineapples. Scientists are developing waxy corn for better cornstarch, wheat with higher fiber and lower gluten, climate-resistant tomatoes, and camelina with enhanced omega-3 fatty acids. One of the most promising gene therapies is CAR-T, where T cells are extracted from cancer patients, genetically enhanced to express chimeric antigen receptors, and reintroduced to fight cancer with new powers. Novartis's 2017 trials showed 83% of patients experiencing significant cancer remission within 3 months. The stream of CRISPR breakthroughs accelerates yearly, repairing cystic fibrosis defects in human stem cells, 2013, Correcting Liver Cells in Mice with Hereditary Tyrosinemia, 2014, Editing Beta Globulin Genes to Address Thalassemia, 2015, Extracting HIV from Human Immune Cells, 2016, Correcting Embryonic Heart Defect Genes, 2017, Addressing Duchenne's Muscular Dystrophy Mutations, 2018, and Precisely Editing Sickle Cell Mutations, 2019. Humans have always struggled with mortality. From Gilgamesh's quest for immortality to Methuselah's legendary 969-year lifespan, cultures throughout history have sought ways to extend life. While early attempts like Serge Voronoff's bizarre monkey testicle transplants in the 1920s failed, human lifespan has increased dramatically through advances in healthcare, sanitation, and nutrition, from an average of 47 years in the U.S. in 1900 to 79 today. To push these boundaries further, scientists must understand aging itself, a complex process involving multiple bodily systems deteriorating at different rates. Aging defies simple definition because it's not one process, but many systems decaying at different rates. Scientists variously define it as changes making organisms more likely to die, progressive functional decline, increased inflammation, oxidative damage, or diminished stem cell activation. Evolution doesn't particularly care how long we live beyond our reproductive years. While babies and parents are essential to human evolution, grandparents historically were less so. This gives us hope for extending lifespan, as we're not pushing against strongly selected evolutionary traits. Calorie restriction, CR, consistently extends lifespan in various organisms, from yeast to mammals. Studies with macaque monkeys showed 15% calorie reduction translated to living 3 years longer with better health. The calorie study with humans demonstrated 15% calorie reduction produced 10% lower metabolism, suggesting less cellular wear and tear that might extend lifespan. Jean Calment, who lived to 122 while eating 2 pounds of chocolate daily and riding her bicycle until 100, represents the current upper limit of human lifespan. Researchers like Nir Barzilai study supercentenarians to identify genetic factors enabling extreme longevity. His research with Ashkenazi Jewish centenarians reveals these individuals don't just live longer, but remain healthier longer, with compressed periods of illness at life's end. Cells must constantly choose between allocating energy to growth or repair. Young organisms have high metabolism for growth, but this full-throttle approach wears out cells. In times of scarcity, cells shift to repair mode by regulating glucose uptake. Studies show that when roundworms, fruit flies, and mice shift from growth to repair mode, they live longer, healthier lives. Rapamycin, discovered in Easter Island soil bacteria, regulates cellular metabolism by targeting the mTOR protein. Studies show rapamycin extends lifespan by about 25% across multiple species from yeast to rats. However, its immune-suppressing effects cause concerning side effects like anemia and cataracts. Companies like Novartis and Restore Bio are racing to develop rapamycin derivatives that maximize benefits while minimizing risks. How we apply the powerful tools of the genetic revolution will significantly determine humanity's future. The ethical challenges are immense, with no easy answers to questions of complexity, responsibility, diversity, and equity. Human genetics presents extraordinary complexity. Genes perform multiple functions and interact in ways we don't fully understand. The sickle cell mutation illustrates this complexity. Harmful in double copies, but potentially beneficial against malaria in single copies. Eliminating it could solve one problem while creating others, potentially requiring cascading interventions like gene drives against mosquitoes, which could crash ecosystems. Critics warning of slippery slopes in genetic modification aren't wrong. Each small step justifies the next. If we accept mitochondrial donation to prevent disease, why not other heritable changes? If selecting embryos to prevent Huntington's disease is acceptable, why not select for longevity? The dark cloud of eugenics hangs over human genetic engineering. from ancient infanticide to Victorian-era scientific breeding programs, humans have long practiced selective reproduction. After Darwin's theories emerged, his cousin Francis Galton developed eugenics theories promoting race betterment through selective breeding. American progressives embraced these ideas, believing science could create better societies by preventing defective births. By 1927, 30 U.S. states had passed sterilization laws, with the Supreme Court ruling them constitutional in Buck v. Bell. Nazi Germany, watching closely, expanded these concepts into their racial hygiene programs, starting with sterilization laws based on California's model before progressing to murder of the disabled and eventually the Holocaust. Unlike historical eugenics, modern genetic selection isn't state-controlled or coercive, but instead driven by individual health choices. The question becomes not whether to allow embryo selection, but how much modification is acceptable. Diversity isn't merely about redressing historical wrongs or institutional benefits, it's humanity's fundamental survival strategy. Random mutation, a pillar of Darwinian evolution, creates the diversity that allowed our species to adapt and thrive through changing conditions. Today's parents, if given genetic choice, would likely select for traits currently valued: intelligence, height, appearance, reflecting cultural biases of our time. Throughout history, technological advantages have created power divides between populations. Genetic technologies risk creating unbridgeable genetic gaps if only available to the wealthy, though many technologies begin with elite adoption before becoming widely accessible. Governments may be incentivized to make genetic engineering broadly available to reduce healthcare costs. The genetic revolution represents one of humanity's greatest opportunities for advancing health and well-being. We will inevitably demand access to these technologies for ourselves and our children as we continue our perpetual struggle against nature's cruelty and pursue our aspirations to transcend biological limitations. Any effective international regime would need to both enable responsible science and enforce limited restrictions, striking an impossible-seeming balance. Draw regulations too permissively and opponents revolt. Too restrictively and people seek underground alternatives. Too vaguely and they become meaningless. Without global standards, we risk an international genetic arms race. Creating an international framework for genetic engineering requires threading an impossibly narrow needle. It must respect constituencies uncomfortable with germline engineering while not impeding scientific progress worth trillions in commerce and human well-being. Realistically, only the most obvious violations of human dignity could be universally prohibited. Dangerous human experimentation, excessive human-animal gene mixing, and engineering synthetic traits that fundamentally challenge human identity. Given these immense challenges, our immediate priority must be public education and engagement. Every nation should develop its own bioethics commission and regulatory framework reflecting its values, following exemplary models like the UK's Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority. But we can't wait for governments to act. Each of us must educate ourselves and others before it's too late. This global dialogue could begin with an international commission of scientists, thinkers, and religious leaders developing key questions about genetic technologies, ensuring broad access, setting appropriate limits, determining information rights, establishing embryo selection policies, addressing germline editing, preventing abuses, and creating inclusive decision-making processes. Deploying genetic technologies wisely will require drawing on our best humanist values and strengthening our commitment to diversity, equality, and our common humanity. While the technologies are new, the philosophical frameworks needed to use them responsibly are often ancient. The process of developing international norms and regulations will be arduous and may seem impossible. Yet, simply attempting this global conversation brings more people into determining humanity's future. We cannot stop genetic enhancement of our species, but we can influence how this transformation unfolds.